I love coming to Huntington Beach. It's where my spiritual journey really deepened. When I was just beginning on this path, I started at Namaste in Long Beach. And that's where I realized that there was something about me that was special. I didn't know what it was yet, mind you. And that was because there was something happening within me that was beginning to change unconsciously. And part of that was I was learning to feel again. I don't like feeling. That's what I used to say. I don't like feeling. I didn't like tears. I didn't like emotion of most any kind. I did not like the real highs, and I really didn't like the real lows. It was uncomfortable. And when I was finding myself as a young person in that, one of the biggest events that happened for me was this. I was always a very good student. In high school, I was a straight-A student. And as I worked my way through going into college, something happened in my early 20s that was the most embarrassing thing at the time that I could ever imagine. I was expelled from college for my grades. And it was so embarrassing at the time that I didn't tell anybody. I was in a relationship with a very lovely person who's to this day a good friend of mine, and she did not even know. And it took me a little while to say it. Because I was always that kid that did everything right. And I was expelled because my grades had gone to a point that I was no longer able to, in essence, prove that I could be a student of higher education. And I didn't understand what was going on, but I did understand this. There was so much going on in my head that there was no room for anything else. I was feeling, I wasn't feeling. I was trying so hard not to feel that all those feelings that I was pushing down, pushing away, doing whatever it was that I was doing with those feelings, which number one was not feeling them, that they had control of me in a way that was unconscious. I had feelings of shame, feelings of anger, frustration. I felt less than. And those feelings were how my life was unfolding. And thankfully, I got myself and found a good therapist to kind of sit and talk about exactly what was happening in my life. I also became an advocate and an activist so I could learn to talk about what I was so ashamed of. The very thing that scared me was the very thing that I decided to do, which was talk about a piece of me, of who I am, that I was deeply ashamed of because I was taught to be ashamed of it. The really interesting thing about when we don't feel the feelings we're most uncomfortable with, they take hold of us and they don't let go. It's almost like a tourniquet on our life because they shrink our ability to unfold as who we are authentically, and they reduce it to this tiny little, I'll call it, you know what bandwidth is? Or if you're a plumber, you know what a pipe is. You know what happens, sort of what happened here recently, is when the roots of something grow into that pipe. They clog that pipe to the point that the only thing that can get through is very little. It's a great metaphor on how we can look at the greatest tool that we have is the very part of who we are as humans. And it is the rainbow of feeling that we're gifted with. Why? Why are we given these feelings? And the diversity of those feelings, and oftentimes when we're not feeling, it gets reduced to a couple feelings. which is anger and shame. And when we choose not to feel, then what happens is in our lives, the reaction that comes out is rage. We look outside of ourselves for ways in which we can resolve what's happening on the inside. There's a great movie out there that my daughter turned me on to, and it's a book. It started as a book, of course, like many movies, and it's called The Giver. Have any of you seen the movie or read the book? It is a book that's definitely written for younger folks, and I would say young teens, tweens, and it's been one of the most sought after to be banned books in the public education system. It's a dystopian kind of fantasy. It's what happens when our community doesn't allow itself to unfold with all the gifts that we have. And the main character of the story, his name is Jonas. And I really encourage you to watch the film from a metaphysical standpoint. I find it difficult to watch anything unless it's metaphysical anymore. I don't know. Must have been that school of, you know, leadership, spiritual leadership I went to. But part of that, too, is what happens in that story is the community is void of feeling. The community is void of color. And the community is void of any situation or circumstance that causes any discomfort. Because what they learned, or at least a group of people learned, is when they had any of that, there was war, and there was famine, and there was a whole host of things that happens on our planet. And they interpreted that all those things led to some of the negative experiences that we have. So, once a year, the young people, and it's sort of their graduation like a high school, they're given a role to play in their community. And that role to play is the role they will take on throughout their life. And Jonas is given a special role. He is to be trained by the giver. And the giver is the one that has all the memories of the community. He's the only one. He's to hold those memories and all the feelings for the community. Can you imagine having to be the one to hold that for everyone? And as Jonas, and how that is given to him is the giver would grab his hands. It's almost like a practitioner. Grabs his hands and he gives them those memories. And he feels all of them. He feels the beautiful, the positive ones. He's never had the feeling of what it feels like to see and feel beauty, to see and feel love, to see and feel joy, to laugh. He also has no idea what it's like to see and feel sorrow, sadness, grief, frustration, disappointment, all of those. Anyway, there's a child in the movie, this baby who's really struggling. The baby cries a lot, and you're not supposed to cry. You're not supposed to feel. So sadly, within the movie, everyone thinks that it's all wine and roses, and when someone doesn't fit in, without their knowledge, those folks are euthanized. So this baby Jonas is working with, and there's this conversation. He meets with this baby every night, and this baby's name is Gabe. And he says to him, he says, things could change, Gabe. Things could change. Things could be different. I don't know how, but there must be some way for things to be different. There could be colors. There could be grandparents. He added, staring through the dimness toward the ceiling of the sleeping room of this child, and everybody would have the memories. Gabriel's breathing, the baby, was even and deep. Jonas liked having him there, though he felt guilty about the secret because he was sharing memories that he wasn't supposed to. He was giving those memories to Gabriel, memories of boat rides and picnics in the sun, memories of soft rainfall against window panes, memories of dancing barefoot on a damp lawn. Gabe, and the new child stirred slightly in his sleep. Jonas looked over at him. There could be love, he whispered. There could be love. In all of what was being shared with him, what Jonas seemed to understand is that no matter what happens, there is love in it. That's how we were created. We were created from love, and we were created to remember that we were created, not only from love, but as love. And feelings, while they're uncomfortable, the really interesting thing about feelings is that the divine communicates in feelings. How many of you have actually sat with a practitioner and had a prayer? The words that flow from a practitioner, they're beautiful. Their practice is prayer. What's really true about that prayer is not the words. It's the feeling. It doesn't matter what a practitioner says. It doesn't. It matters what they feel. And as they see the truth of the person who's sitting with them, the truth is, first, they're seeing the truth of themselves. And they're feeling that truth of themselves so that they can feel the same truth for you. And through what we call the one mind, that communication is seamless because we're tapping into the love that is. So when we don't practice or play in the realm of feeling, what happens is that we don't see how our actions are affecting our lives. We don't see how our actions are affecting the lives of others. We only see how our life is unfolding, and sometimes that might be as a victim in life. Joseph Campbell, who did talk nonstop about what it meant to live life, was that it is important for us to understand that we're the hero in every story of our lives. When I go back to the story of where I was expelled from college, the really interesting thing about that story was this. It wasn't until I felt the shame and the guilt and the sadness about the things that were happening in my life that were filling me up to the point that there was no room left for anything else, that I was able to see that there was nothing to be embarrassed about for being expelled from college. It makes a really great story, by the way. There's nothing about our lives that, as we're walking through it, it's not so much, and this is my own kind of belief, I believe that every experience shows up to teach me. That's because every experience that shows up, I respond in the way in which I know how to. I'm not playing in this thing alone. I've got all of you to play with. And I have my family and my friends and my biggest teachers, who are sometimes the most challenging people in my life, because they remind me of the places within me through feeling, because underneath that feeling are the places that are to be healed. It's important that we just don't look at life as that when good happens, we're doing the right thing. I have to remind myself that, because when something shows up that is challenging, the way in which I move through it is more important than what is happening. And the way in which I move through it is to feel my way through it. Not around it, not over it, not under it. Sometimes in this philosophy, we can misinterpret the idea to immediately jump from this hurts to it's all love. Right here where it hurts, it's really hard to feel the love. And if I jump from here to it's all love, I've missed the point of being human. And I've missed the learning opportunity to really look at what's happening and how I'm responding. So in my workplace, there is so much going on in our world, I'm backing up from in my workplace, especially around sexual harassment in the workplace. And a lot of that has to do with the gender bias that we're now becoming more and more aware of. I remember something happening in my workplace where a group of employees had been exposed to a hazardous material. And it was not that it was intentional they were exposed, but the manager who was in charge of them knew that the exposure was there and did it anyway. And I was in charge at the time of the part of the organization that dealt with that, employee safety, and I was dealing with generally environmental compliance. And it was upsetting to me that we were still talking about safety for employees. It was upsetting to me. And I was feeling for those employees, and I walked into the division manager that I was reporting to at the time, and I sat down and I said, this is ridiculous that we're still talking about this, and I was upset. And he responds to me, he says, you know, you don't have to get so emotional. Now, that's not uncommon. And I remember standing there, and I was thinking, don't get so emotional. Am I being emotional? And then it was like, am I being too emotional? Well, what am I feeling? What kind of emotion? You know, and I'm going through this kind of split second, and there was a part of me that was ready to take that emotion and just shove it right back down. And I said, well, of course I'm emotional. I'm angry. Aren't you angry? And it doesn't matter. In that moment, what I learned is I had somehow figured up to that point that emotion was so healthy, that it was healthy for me to express that in that moment. And if I had shoved that down, guess what I get to deal with next? Why did I shove it down? Well, because I'm not supposed to feel. And in my workplace, it was mostly, this is not against men, so please don't take this way. I worked with mostly men, and it was not considered okay to have feelings. It just wasn't. We just kind of walked through things just in this really vanilla kind of way. And I didn't want to be that anymore. I did not want to be the person that was modeling don't feel. And I didn't want to be the person who was modeling, because there was also something else in that moment. I was afraid that I was being looked at as potentially incapable. That I was being looked at as who am I, who I was in that moment wasn't enough, and that by feeling that made me even less. Now, part of my story, of course, is I retired to become a minister, which is kind of interesting. I think sometimes you do the other way around. But one of the things I was realizing is that the workplace needs to have feeling. It needs to have that freedom of expression, of feeling, just like any other place, including here, including at home, with this one caveat, of course, that we honor our feelings, that we feel them so we know what's underneath it to be healed, and that we don't hold on to it for so long that when we finally do decide to feel it, which I'm going to say, forgive yourself if you do this, I've done it, that we lash out. Because we're so tired of it. And everyone that has had me act like this, do you hear me? Everyone that's had me hold on to those feelings, those were my choices. The way in which we can find those places that are asking to be healed is by asking ourselves, what am I feeling right now? And if I can't ask myself that right now for whatever reason, is to remember to ask myself, what was I feeling in that moment? What was it, what was coming up for me? As practitioners, we'd even ask you, when was the first time you felt that? because we want to get to sort of when it started, but that doesn't really matter. It's what am I feeling right now? Is this something that's happening in my life over and over? What am I feeling? When we become aware, our life does become less messy. And I say less because life can be messy at any moment. At least it can feel that way, because in our culture, in our environment, what's really, really important to us is to have control. Is to not have any feeling sort of a hair out of place. This mic is bugging me like nobody's business right now. I'm just expressing that feeling towards you. I have no idea where my hair is going because of it. Not to blame you, Scott, that's not you. But the point of the matter is, again, anything that is disturbing me because something in me has been touched before, including joy. It's all there. And when something doesn't turn out the way I want it to, because it's always turned out that way in the past, I'm also thinking that that when I'm feeling joy, that joy is the only feeling I'm supposed to have. And that's not true either. Can I have this part within me, and maybe some, and I know some of you experience this, maybe all of you, when I lost my grandmother, and I lost my grandmother when I was here, and I lost my mother that same week, and I was in a board meeting, and I remember during that time period, and you know when you have loss, deep loss, that somewhere in there, somewhere along the way, somewhere on that journey, there's love. Because we remember the person that shared their life with us. We remember the gift they gave us. We remember that we are changed because of it. And we have compassion for others because of that very grief that we felt. So that we can be there in the presence of others when they're going through the very same thing. Not saying, I know how you feel, but saying, I know how I felt. And I can sit there with someone in that moment and hold that space for them without trying to push them to the other side. Because that journey is an individual one. Collectively, we all have it, but the journey through our feelings, feelings like grief and sadness and anger and frustration, that journey is the individual one. And when I can sit with someone having gone through that, I can hand them a tissue not to stop their crying, but to encourage them to feel deeper. And to allow them to express it all as much as they can. Knowing that when we express it all and we allow ourselves to feel it all, that we've already moved into a place of healing. It's the only way. It's the beauty of this divine creation called human. It's our greatest teacher. And if we can detach ourselves, not from the feeling itself, but detach ourselves from the expectation that this feeling must pass. But as we practice it, we can ask ourselves through this, what is this feeling here to show me about me? And who I am, what I am here for, and how I want to play not only as me, but how I want to play as me with all of you. That's when we make the biggest difference on our planet, is when we take charge, accountability of this. The Gospel of Thomas, When you bring forth that which you have within you, it will save you. If you do not, it will destroy you. That's us doing that. By not feeling, by not allowing ourselves to have this experience of being human, of being intimate with the divine through what we feel, and allowing the intimacy of the divine to speak to us as feeling. The divine speaks in feelings, and our feelings transmit all that we believe. If we want to live big lives, we must be vulnerable to ourselves to be truly intimate with the divine. We must feel the pain. We must feel the anger and all that is uncomfortable to get what we call the love.